Blog Talk Radio.
This is Nance Bornis with the Kansas City Storm women's football team, and I'm here today to represent the IWFFA for Diane Burleson for the talk show tonight. She is still on her world tour promoting her fantastic organization, and as well as her flag football for women. And she's doing a great job over in Europe, and although we're not fortunate enough to have Diane with us here tonight, we do have some reports from her, video clips from her travels, and she's going to explain some of what she's been doing and interview some of the individuals that she's been exposing to the sport and getting some new teams signed up abroad for us. So at this point, I wanted to go right into one of her first clips, which is an interview that she did while she was in Sweden back on June 5th. And so let's see what Diane has to say from there.
Hi, this is Diane Burleson, the president and the founder of the International Women's Flag Football Association. And I am right now in Gothenburg, Sweden. And as I'm on the road for the IWFFA's 3.5-month promotional tour, we've decided, myself, Nance Werns, and Mary Angelini, that we would interview some of our participants in the flag football training. So I have with me, sitting next to me, is Annette Olsson from Gothenburg, Sweden, and we're doing it the old-fashioned way. I'm going to hand her the telephone. So Annette, I have a couple of questions for you. Annette, by the way, let me just tell the audience that Annette is a brand new player. As a matter of fact, on June 4th, we had our big training in Gothenburg, and that was the very first time she ever saw or played or trained for the flag football. So I thought that this would be a very interesting interview indeed. So, Annette, how did you find out about the flag football?
From my friend Lena. Yes, in Gothenburg.
Okay, and Lena happens to be the Scandinavian rep for the IWFFA. Lena has been helping me big time with the promotional tour, making train, airplane, bus schedules, and booking the tickets for me, so that's very helpful. And so Lana turned you on to the flag football. But then did you ever see the flag football before the training on June 4th?
Yes, I've seen them playing in Gothenburg.
Oh, you've seen the tournament in Gothenburg. Okay. I thought you never saw it before. Okay, uh-huh. So was this a sport that you saw and you thought, maybe this is something I would like to try?
Yes, I think it's looks like fun. Yeah.
Okay, so how did we finally get you to come to the training then? What spurred you? What got you to come to the training finally?
Lena said they have training, so I can try how it is to play. Yeah.
Okay, because Lena said, okay, so that's, Lena is a powerful woman. So, but now tell me, what did you think? There we were, putting on the belts and flags. What was going on in your head as we were, all the women were putting the equipment on?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, but then when we started to run the drills, now, what other sports have you played in Scandinavia?
Little football, tennis, nothing else. So,
did you play anything like this game before?
No, never.
Never?
Never.
So then, was it difficult for you to understand some of the patterns, the plays, the mechanics, when I explained why we did what we did?
Yeah, it's a little difficult.
Can you expand upon that?
No, I can't.
A woman of many words. Okay. But then I just want to say that my opinion of Annette as a trainer, for sure, she's talented. She caught the ball. Which I know for a lot of these Scandinavians, you know, they're so used to the football, which is our soccer. And catching and throwing the ball is not easy. But Annette definitely had good hands. So we put her, I had put you on that receiver position right away. And then we had, it was a wonderful training. And so are you happy with the game? Would you like to continue with the Angels for the flag football?
Yes, I think I would like that, yes.
And for our listeners all over the world, because this goes on the Internet, Annette is getting nervous now. But Annette, what would you like to tell for the woman or the girl who has never seen this sport before? And if I should approach them in the street with a flyer and ask them to come to the training, what do you say to these women or these girls?
I should say they come and try. It's very funny.
Okay, all right. So thanks very much, Annette. And I'm going to continue to interview these women as we go along the travels. And until the next interview, thanks very much.
Wow, that had to be a tough one for Diane. I think I don't know if it's tougher to get new players involved in the sport or to get some answers out of Annette. She was either very shy or didn't quite know what to say. Anyway, though, it was interesting when she talked about that Annette didn't have any really exposure to football. And that's one thing we have to really understand, that Diane's got quite a uphill battle over there, because I know a lot of women that come to the Kansas City Storm tryouts and they start off playing football, even if they're not too familiar with the sport, or if they're not too familiar with the some of the, you know, the more intricate parts of the sport, they have at least been exposed to it. And, you know, they've seen the football, they've seen it been played, and you might have to fill in some gaps as far as the rules and some things. But overall, we don't have the uphill battle that Diane has now, exposing them to football that they've probably never seen tackle football on TV or anything. So my hats are off to Diana. She's got an uphill battle, but she's having a great time over there. And she actually has given us another clip. She did some interviews with some other players on June 13th, about a week after that clip was made. And so now we're going to listen to that one and see what she has to say and share with this one. Go ahead, BJ.
Hello, this is Diane Barrelson, president founder of the International Women's Flag Football Association, and here joining me today is Lisa Berg. Lisa Berg is from Sweden. She is one of the flag football players in our organization, the IWFFA. And Lisa, can you, a lot of our listeners out there have no idea what it's like to play a sport where no one has ever heard of it. And, for example, how did you get involved with the sport?
Well, I got involved with the sport because I was working at a job, and one of the girls that were working there, she asked me if I wanted to come play football with her in Denmark on a cup. And I thought it was soccer, so I said, sure, I'll come, no worries. But then I found out it was not soccer, it was flag football, but I just found it was so much fun. So I've been hooked since then. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then I just continued to go to the tournaments in the Nordic region, and it's just been super much fun.
Uh-huh. So you say it sounds like you were rooked into it, and then you got hooked into it. But so in Europe, in Scandinavia, the big game is the soccer or handball, which is not so well known, your handball version in the States. But can you explain, though, as a so for this very new sport, what was it like, really? Can you remember back in the early days? So that training then, that day, what was so interesting or amazing, something that you can describe, so we would appreciate, because we're born and raised with this sport, and you're doing the movements for the first time. What was that like? What did you tell us about your experience?
Well, what I found so nice with the sport, it was that I can't really throw the football, because we have never learned that here. But even if you can't throw, then you can run, or you can block, or you can take the flags, or you can always do something. And it was so many different things. And you can always be good at one thing if you can't do the others, the other stuff. So, and it's always nice with a sport that it's because here in Sweden or in Scandinavia, if you want to start doing a sport when I'm 26 now, and if you want to start playing soccer, for example, it's too late because everyone is already so good at it, and you can't really find a nice team sport if you haven't played it since you were so small. Mm. But flag football, you can still start now and still become good at it, and that I found really nice. And you meet a lot of people who are very nice, and so yeah.
Mm. But I think you touched upon something that was hard for me to understand when I first came to Scandinavia, and as I asked these women, would they like to play this new sport? And I was surprised when there I was standing in front of a 23-year-old woman, and she was telling me she's too old. And I'm like twice her age, so that made it a little bit more hard. But it is part of the culture, and that's something that I've learned, is that there's different ways of doing things, and you really have to be sensitive to, you know, in America we have our ways of ways of doing things and a thought process, but you're right. And there was another Swedish woman who I spoke to who explained the same thing. She was very interested to get involved with the flag football because it was a new sport, and because the older women could play.
Yeah.
So then that is something different. You don't have such older women playing sports. What's that like for you?
Well, I think that's great because everyone has different experiences, and it's just nice to meet like different kind of women. They're so different, and the age is so different, and you can just come as you are and play as you are, which is good because we have a strong tradition here that you start playing a sport when you're very small and you stick to it, and then you get good at it, and then you don't have time or you don't try anything else because then you do what you're good at. So that's super nice that people can just start with something you and then just meet nice people and still be able to be in a team sport.
Like you explain about everyone is so nice, I can explain to our listeners that here in Scandinavia everybody basically knows one another.
Yeah.
And when we do the tournaments, these IWFFA tournaments, and you're in Denmark, in Oslo, Norway, in Gothenburg, Sweden, it is cozy. I mean, some of the niceness is brought out in these tournaments. You know, when they make the food, when they offer the drinks or have the social events, it's not
like going to a bar for entertainment, they make you supper. So the women will make you supper and you sit and you eat with everybody, and that is very cozy. But I failed to ask you, what part of Sweden were you born and raised in? And tell us a little bit about what it's like to live here in Sweden, just a little idea, can you?
Yeah. I was born and raised in a very, very small village called Svendunia.
What's the population?
Oh, in the entire, maybe 6,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but then it's very spread out on a big area. So not everyone in the village, maybe that's 4,000 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to Gothenburg, which is the second biggest city in Sweden, when I was 15. And now I live here in Uppsala, which is the fourth biggest city in Sweden. And how it's like to live in Sweden, I don't know. Safe. Safe and a little bit boring. No, it's great. It's cold.
Oh.
Yeah. You constantly are longing for warmer weather. But it's nice because we have all the seasons, and we have winter and then it's snow and we have spring and then you see the flowers and then we have summer, which is really warm, and then fall. So that I like, that all the seasons are there.
Okay.
But now we should let our listeners know that we just had a training here in Uppsala, part of the promotional tour. I myself am traveling 2 months in Norway and Sweden, then followed by 1 month in Ghana, Africa, and then even 10 days in New York. But you brought me here, you and Heidi. Heidi, who's going to join our conversation in a little bit. Flag football is so unknown. You felt it had a chance to begin here in Uppsala.
Yeah.
And and you've never coached flag football before, have you?
No.
And you have never started a brand new sports team before, have you?
No.
Uh-huh. So now you can share what's been happening, okay?
Yeah. Well, I started to ask around everyone, and there's a big interest here among my friends and among the women here to do something like a team sport, because there's a lot of people that are wanting to work out, but it just ends up with them running around or going jogging by themselves or going to the gym by themselves. And a lot of people find that sports should be more fun like that, more fun than that, and something that you do together and something that will develop you and make you stronger as a person too, and not only physically but also mentally, and will help you in real life. So yeah, there was a great interest, and now we have a little problem since Uppsala is a student town and everyone is returning to their home cities during the summer. Mm-hmm. But we have had a couple of women now during the practices, mm-hmm. and the interest is really big for this fall when everyone is returning. So my goal is to have regular practices this
mm-hmm.
fall, and to get the team going, and to go to some tournaments and have fun.
Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to ask also, so before the Uppsala team, you have been playing flag football. What was that? What has that been like? Because you have not had your own team yet.
No.
So okay. So you fell in love with this, or were very interested in this game in Sweden in Hoxvik, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So then how were you able to play in the tournament? What was find a team?
Yeah, well, I since I knew some people back home that were playing originally with the Danish team, that was the first team that I started to play with, and then you just asked around, and there was always a team that needed an extra person, so I have been playing with a different team every tournament, I think.
So your first team was the Danish Devils?
Yes, the first team was the Danish Devils. And then I played with Norwegian teams and Swedish teams and mixed teams, like,
the loose women's team.
And I'm super excited about getting my own team, because now finally we can get, like, good organized place, and, like, I can learn so much more, too, because before you just did what everyone told you, because they had their gameplay and they had their place and everything, and now we can make up our own and really play as an organized team.
Now, you have been to the Key West tournament, the Kelly McGillis Classic.
Yes.
And was it your first year this year?
Yes.
Okay, first time this year. What's the difference with that tournament, the American teams? Well, you also have the Canadian and Mexican teams, but
yes.
Can you try to explain to us the difference with the tournaments in Scandinavia and Key West, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What you your opinion have discovered with about the American teams,
mm-hmm.
and just share your whole thought process, because I think it's interesting for us to get an idea of what it is like for people from other countries to see the Americans play.
Mm-hmm. Well,
or the Canadians and the Mexicans too.
Yeah. Well, the Mexicans were very organized. They had very, very, organized place, but they were very, very nice people. And the Canadians that we played with, they had not been playing contact flag football before, so that was actually new for them,
mm-hmm.
and they learned a lot too. And the Americans, I think they were playing more rough than we are playing in Scandinavia.
Rough in what way?
Rough, more stronger contact, or I don't know what you... Yeah, more contact, and well, also some were more tough. I don't know how to explain it, but I just got the feeling that they were more rough and tough and than we are maybe in Scandinavia, so... That was a good experience too, but and I like that. And of course, it was a lot bigger in Key West than our tournaments, which has normally 4, 5, or 6 teams, and that was a lot more teams in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
But still, very nice people. So in that way, it was the same.
So, is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners about this sport? A message to our listeners? Jeez, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I just think it's a great, great sport that just fits for everyone, whether you're like balls or not. I mean, if you're scared of the ball, then you really don't have to play a position where you get to hold the ball even. I mean, it fits just for everyone, and you grow as a person, and you have a lot of fun.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good. Okay, Lisa Berg from Sweden, from now Uppsala.
Yes.
Okay, thanks so much. And now I'm going to bring on Heidi from Finland, new to Sweden, but she's a Finnish woman. And Heidi has a different experience because Finland actually was playing flag football with the contact, with the blocking, before IWFFA even came to Scandinavia in 97. They've had, Heidi, would you share with our listeners, give us a background about back then, 1997, what the flag football was like in Finland. Now, you didn't actually start playing in 97,
no.
Did you? How old are you?
30.
You could have been, though. Or
I wasn't living in Helsinki.
Okay, tell us about the...
I wasn't living in Helsinki back then, so I don't know how it was back then, but I moved to Helsinki 2000, but then... I started to study at the university 2001, and then I got email that women was looking more people to play flag football, and then I thought, okay, I never done any team sports, and I got interested, and I went to the practice to see how it is, and I was really much heavier back then, and they put me to the line. So first practice was really like contact, and I really liked that. And then I got hooked also.
And then, why did you like that
content? I don't know. It seemed really nice for me somehow. I don't know why. And then I started playing 2004, I think it was, and I played 4 years there. Mm-hmm. And we had a league, and it was really, really good. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, and were you one of the Nordic women who came in 2000? Oh, no, you were not one of the Finnish women who came to 2000 to Key West, was it? No, okay. We had, you know, the IWFFA was going to have its six-month promotional tour in the Nordic region. That includes Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Finland, and Iceland for 6 months. And we knew that we would need help, and we wanted to invite the Nordic women. So we had, it was three Finnish women, two Danish women, five Norwegians, and three Swedes, and your Finnish coach, I forget his name, Rico, I think. Or that's the woman's name, right? Rayo. You never know if it's a man's or a woman's name by just listening to the name in the Nordic region. But anyway, I remember, so the Norwegians had never played before, and the Swedes had never played before, but the Finns and the Danes played before. And I remember when they came to Key West, they were very disciplined. And I have to say that... explain to our listeners that, you know, when I do these trainings, it's amazing to me how everyone is paying attention. And it is a second language. It's not English is not your first language, yet everyone understands and process. Like today's training we had. Now, Heidi also is, and Lisa are starting up this new team in Uppsala. And Heidi's going to quarterback for the first time, and she's got a good arm. And it's going to be interesting for them, their experience. But these women that we had out there today, I remember seeing how excited they were to make a block and to understand the purpose of running the pass pattern and the strategy behind the game. So I think Uppsala is going to do really well. But tell us more than you played the line. When did you get off the line, and why? How you've changed to other positions in flag football?
Yeah, I played 4 years in Finland, and I was playing both ways, offense and defense line. And then 2007, I think it was the last year I played in Finland, because after that they changed to real American football with bats and stuff. Tackle football, and then I decided that, okay, well, I'm not going to do this anymore, because it was in flag football also. It was, I think we were like 6 to 8 teams in Finland, but it was only like 2 really good teams who competed. And then for me, I was still a student, and I really needed to graduate. And I thought that, okay, it will take so much time to practice, and it will take so much money to get all the gears and stuff. And I decided that, okay, this is enough for me. And then I have just been going to IWFFA tournaments after that. And then I changed positions. Then I have played like a running back or receiver, and now I have started with the quarterback. Mm. And I got the new interest for the game after that.
But you considered tackle football, and did I understand, was it that the gear was so expensive? Was that part of your decision to not play?
Gear and also membership was expensive. So I didn't see any reason to do it only for a few good games.
Okay. But you've seen the tackle football.
Yeah.
And you've seen the IWFFA flag football.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that there's enough contact in the IWFFA that makes you happy?
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, maybe not for everyone. But for me, it's enough. And yeah, if I get bored as a quarterback, I can always go and do line also. And I think I will play both ways. I will be as a quarterback and then defense line, and I think that's pretty unusual as a quarterback to play defense line, but I really love the contact, and I think I'm pretty good in that, so I don't want to lose that.
Okay. But that makes it interesting also, when you play here in Scandinavia, the teams are much smaller. The rosters, I don't think we've ever filled up the roster, 22 players, and so that means that the women are going both ways. And so they get plenty of playing time. Uh-huh. So do you think, you have been to Key West for this last, actually you've been to Key West how many times?
Two times.
So give us an idea, your opinion about the Americans, the Canadians, the Mexicans. What's it, because that's the first time you've seen it. Well, you actually had an American team last year in the Oslo Norway tournament. Yeah, so that was, so now I've asked you a lot of things. Would you explain to us your opinion? What was your take on that Key West tournament? As you noticed the other teams playing from the America and the other Canada and Mexico.
Well, I think I was there first time 2008, I think it was, or 2007, something like that. And then I think it was much rougher. Like it was much more like we played in Finland, and it was like normal for me. And but I can understand Lisa's opinion about this, because the Scandic Nordic region tournaments, they are softer. But in Finland we played as hard as they did in Key West. But so it was nice. But this year I think it wasn't so, maybe not the best teams there, because it wasn't so rough as the last time for me. But I think everyone plays really good. Mexicans, Canadians, everyone.
Yeah.
And, of course, Americans.
Yeah. And you had last year in Oslo, what was the feel, that American team, Blue Thunder, they dominated. Wasn't there a game, though, that they had a chance to lose? What were the Scandinavians feeling as this American team was pouncing on them?
I played with Oslo Panthers back then, and they were retiring, so I think that was a big problem, because they didn't have any practices before the tournament. And of course Blue Thunder had been practicing all season.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what happened with Fighters, because they had but we had had opportunity too, but I really don't know what happened there. I don't think it was so dominating, actually, but I think it was the lack of practice and something like that. Yeah.
I know that speaking to some of the Norwegian teams, that was their first taste of an American team, was that Blue Thunder team. And they did not want to come to America to play flag football. And then I had to explain to them that in that Key West tournament, that Kelly McGillis Classic, we have different divisions. So we have that beginner's division. And once they understood that, they thought, well, they're coming to Key West next year, because it's such a contact sport. You know, it's one thing if you're losing, but it's even worse if it's a contact sport and you're losing, because you're getting black and blues, and the scoreboard is just, every time you glance at that scoreboard, it makes it miserable. But I have to tell you, as a trainer here traveling around the Nordic region, or Scandinavia rather, it really is a joy for me, especially with the beginners, because I appreciate the smart questions that they ask. Now, today's training, we had a lot of great questions. What was her name? Astrid was asking some really good questions. Now, she was a handball player. You had the rugby player was Josephine. You had the horseback rider. Who was it?
Molly.
And you had Mimi, was she also, Molly?
Molly.
And she also was she's going to train for a marathon.
She has been running a marathon right now.
Marathon, she's going to go how many, 100 kilometers bicycle? 300
kilometers. 300
kilometers. What, I mean, this is an endurance woman for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's also going to ski?
She has been skiing 90 kilometers.
Uh-huh.
And then she's going to swim 30 kilometers.
Okay.
And then another run 30 kilometers.
She has done that already, but we will do that again.
Yeah, so these are the kinds of women that you've attracted for your Uppsala team. And so it's going to be quite a combination.
Yeah.
Yeah, so so what are you looking for? So now, are you confident, Heidi and Lisa, that you're going to develop such a team? And what kind of team are you going to develop? What's your future sites, goals?
Well, I'm feeling pretty confident that we will have a team and a good team. And my my main goal has always been that everyone should be able to come and everyone should be able to have fun. Because since a lot of people are students here and they have so much else stuff to do, and they said straight away, oh no, I cannot practice four times a week. And I said, oh no, we're not going to. We're going to practice as much as we can. And if you can't come 1 week, then you can come the other week. So my future goal is that everyone who feels that they want to come, they should be able to come and they should be able to have fun. So I think we will have a strong team. And since Heidi is pretty new at the quarterback position, even though she has played a few tournaments as it, and I am new with the coaching stuff too, then we will just come up with our team and our play.
Yeah, and yeah, I think so too, and I'm pretty confident about the team too. And for me, I think I can give so much to other people, because in Finland I learned so much about the game and about the tactics and everything. And it's also new for me to figure out more tactics and so on. So I think it will be really interesting.
Yes.
But one thing I have to say, there is a huge difference with Finland and the Scandinavian countries, and that is the women have had a league for some years, since the late 90s, and they were coached by the men. And they have, I think the Finnish game does resemble more this tackle football than our IWFFA flag football in Scandinavia, okay? Not the American, as you said, in America, those American teams are very physical, and same with the Finns. And what I'm curious, what I'm excited to see is you two women head up this team, because women have a different style. They have a different flavor, and here's your chance to mold the team and your women. And already I hear from what you've explained, instead of having that hard training routine, four practices a week, which is typical for your other sports, okay, it's more social, more relaxed. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be so demanding.
Yeah.
So I think already, in a way, you have revolutionized a sport in Scandinavia, whether you realize it or not, and perhaps maybe it'll influence some of the other sports. Do you think it's that revolutionary what you're doing?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, if you can change one person, then you can change, that person can change five persons, and then everyone, I mean, we have a saying that you should think global but act local. So maybe, but then people can have a chance to make an effect on other people. I mean, it's like wings on the water. It goes out. Yeah.
That's good. So, but then another thing is this, when the Scandinavians play, you know, many of them are soccer players. So they're not used to that eye-hand coordination, catching and throwing the ball. And I've said before that the Scandinavians do have a special style, especially those who have never seen the men play the tackle football. So I'm hoping that more women like you in Scandinavia would start many more teams and have that influence on the sport, so that we can have a real feminine style flag football, which I think is much more exciting than any other sport I've seen. So, But now, okay, so the plans for the future. So even though the team, your Uppsala team, may not be ready for the Oslo tournament, which is just 2 weeks away, You two are planning to come and join some other Swedes, right?
Yes.
So how did that happen?
For I think 1 year ago, we started to gather up some women that didn't have their own team, and then we played some tournaments together. So we got to know some people, like Therese in Varberg and some other people. And then I talked to her now, and she said, yeah, I don't have a full team from Varberg either, but I have some girls. And then she talked to some others, so we're just gathering up some girls that can go and play for this Oslo tournament. So hopefully this summer will give different teams that just started in Sweden some time to practice and gather up more people. So the tournament in Gothenburg at the end of August can be a big one.
Would you two like to share anything else with our listeners? Would you like to add anything that comes to your head? They're thinking.
You asked a lot of good questions.
Okay.
I think Lisa said it already, but this is a sport that everyone can start, because you don't have to have any sports background, but it's good if you have. So, and there will be a position for everyone. It doesn't matter which background you have. And it's so much more than the sports too. It's a social thing too. And we will have fun in Uppsala.
Yeah. And also I think the common attitude is that among the women that I have met, if they play soccer or handball or something, that it's such a very controlled, and you're not allowed to do so many stuff. I mean, you should be very tactical with your feet, or very easy, and suddenly they get all excited. Oh, am I really allowed to push her? And I say push, just lock. Oh, this is so much fun. I finally get to, like, and then they get their feelings out more. So I think that's important too. Yeah.
Yeah, and also if you do, like, if you play soccer, you usually have the only one position you are practicing for all the time. But in flag football, you can start with one position, and then maybe you change yourself and get more physical, and then you can try some other position. So you get the interest there all the time, and you don't get so bored.
I think you ladies have brought something out that a lot of Americans take for granted, this opportunity here with a different sport that and also I don't think my experience with sports in the United States, it's never been so strict as you've described, so I can certainly understand why the women would love to try the flag football, just for the flexibility. But I just want to tell our listeners, Mary Angelini and Nance Warrens, I'm going to just let you know that I leave Sweden now, Uppsala. We have a team here. We have teams in Varberg, Halmstad, Hoxvik, Stockholm. I just left Stockholm, and then so that's five new teams, five new cities in Sweden. And then I go back to Gothenburg, where we're going to start a new team over there. I'm on my way to Norway, and I just wanted to say hey to everybody and wish you well. All right, take it easy now. Say bye, ladies.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Oh, can you say something in Finnish and something in Swedish for us?
Jaha. Totta kai voi sanoa paljonkin suomeksi. Hyvää jatkoa kaikille. Toivottavasti moni löytää lippupallon. Ja hyvää kesää. Okay.
That was Finnish.
Kippis.
That was the cheers in Finnish.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say something in Swedish then. Tack för att ni har lyssnat allihopa. Det har varit jätteskoj att prata för er. Och hoppas att ni testar flaggfotboll. Och vi kommer ha det grymt roligt här i Uppsala. Så ha det bra. Hej.
Okej. Okay. All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
And that's it.
And this is Nance Werners with the Kansas City Storm, and I'm back. That clip that you just listened to was made by Diane Brolson, the president and founder of the IWFFA. She's obviously over in the Scandinavian regions of Europe, and she's starting some new teams there and generating a lot of interest in our sport, flag football. And looks like that she is winding down her tour of the area. She was in Norway when she made that clip, and by now I think she's made her way to Sweden. And so she will be actually leaving the continent at the end of June and will be on her way to Africa, Ghana, Africa, on July 1st. And so I'll be hosting the show again next time in July, and hopefully we'll have some more clips from her as she finished up her European leg of her journey and ended up in Africa by that time. So that was some good information that she had. I thought that the women there had some good stories to tell, and there's some things that kind of jumped out at me. Lisa Berg from Sweden, in that second clip, talked about the fact that if you couldn't do one position, that you could, there's always another position for you. And that's something that in the tackle world I use a lot in my recruiting, and I think we could all learn from that, in that a lot of women are sometimes intimidated to even come out and try out, and they don't think that they can do very well. Maybe they never thrown a ball or never caught a ball. But one of the things I try to stress in recruiting is that there are a lot of positions on a football field, on a football team, and that no matter what your skill set is and how well you do, there's usually a way to find a spot for you. And so I always stress that in recruiting and try to get women to get out there and see what they can do. And I think it was interesting that that was also noted on the flag football side, is that there's a lot of different positions there and different skill sets, and that there's definitely a chance for a lot of women to be able to participate. So I thought that was interesting, and I offer that out as we are ending our seasons, our tackle football seasons, and going into our recruitment phase for next year. That's certainly a bargaining chip or something that I use when I talk to new recruits that might be a little bit intimidated by the experience. The other thing that was said, and this is something I ran into in Kansas City. I'm not sure if anyone else has seen this in their areas, but the woman there, I think it was Lisa, that said that it was too late for her to play soccer. She was too old to play soccer because she had not started as a youngster. And that if she hadn't played before, it was very difficult to compete in soccer now because she would be playing against women or with women that had many, many years' experience. And I've heard that also here in the United States. And that's one thing that I think the tackle football we can use as a recruitment tool also, because some of the women that have had great experiences with the Storm and in tackle specifically, came from backgrounds where they were maybe athletic, but did not have an opportunity to participate in a organized team sport. And the two players that I'm thinking of specifically that we were able to incorporate into our team came from a rural areas where the school was a long ways away. One of them, the school was a long ways away, and she could not do anything after school. They didn't really offer sports. The other one was homeschooled, and so, again, didn't have the opportunity to play organized team sports, so they didn't have that experience. And yet these women were both very athletic and were very strong, and we were able to incorporate them into the football. And both of them had the same comment that we got from the woman in Sweden, and that was that they were grateful for the opportunity to play a sport as an adult and be able to compete effectively with other women because there's really nobody here in the States that have got years and years experience playing football. And so it's easy to bring someone in that doesn't have that experience and be able to have a great experience and be able to contribute to a team, even though they haven't had a lot of formal training or had a lot of sports experience. So I thought that was kind of interesting that the parallel that was drawn there, and I offer that also up again. Also, I offer that up as we enter into our recruitment phase, that look for women that have grown up in rural areas, or look at rural areas around your cities to recruit from. Those women may be very, very good additions to your team. Another thing that she said, this is Heidi, the Finland woman that was interviewed second in that clip. She talked about when she first started the team, she was much heavier, but that she loved the contact. I thought that was interesting too, and that's something that's near and dear to my heart. Every year, Kansas City Storm recruits folks, and the women participate for a lot of different reasons. And invariably, we have women that are there, and they are using, obviously, the sport to get into shape or to make some life-changing decisions. And we always have some great reports about weight loss and how well they're doing. Maybe if they're doing some running or get training for a 5K, and really using football as a means to get to those health goals that they have. And so that's always a great byproduct of the season when you look up afterwards and see how the women have improved themselves and how much fun they've had. And I thought it was interesting that Heidi in Finland also mentioned that. So they're getting those same benefits for women across the pond, if you will, in the flag football, just like tackle. The last thing I want to talk about, kind of as a parallel with some of the discussions in that last clip, was they talked about being intimidated to play, come to the United States and play in the Kelly McGillis tournament because they thought that the American teams were much more advanced than they were. And that's when Diane talked to them about the different divisions that she offers and that they could come and play with teams that were more their capability. They're more even with their capability. And I think that that's something that is great that we can offer that in the flag football world. And you know, we really don't offer that very well in the tackle environment. There just aren't enough teams to break up effectively into different divisions, if you will. I know the IDFA tries, but they only do that when they do their end-of-the-season tournament. So you still have a whole season where you have new teams coming in, and they really can't compete effectively with the older teams. And yet we don't have enough teams nationwide to unless you're willing to travel and you have the money to travel a lot, to really pair up the teams that are of equal capability. And I think that hurts a lot because it hurts new teams that want to start out and they see what they're up against. And it becomes exclusionary because the women either have to accept the fact that those first two or three years will be very grueling and it won't be a lot of fun because it's not a very good experience. We need to think of some ways in the tackle world that we can offer any team, no matter how long you've been playing or how seasoned your players are, a quality experience. And that typically means you want to be able to pair them up and have them play with teams that are of equal capability, and equal experience, so everybody has a good time, and it makes for meaningful games, it makes for a good fan experience, and there's just a lot of advantages to that. But like I said, I'm not sure that we certainly have not cracked that nut in the tackle world because we obviously are having a lot of lopsided scores. We're having newer teams that are struggling, dropping out, not finishing the schedule. Just a lot of problems in the tackle world trying to solve that problem. I think one of the things we should really look at is another item that was talked about in that last clip where that team has gone to a structure of not practicing four times a week like some of the other teams over there. They practice less and they kind of de-emphasize it and they say it's a more relaxed and a revolutionary style. And I wonder if in the tackle world we offered or were able to offer teams a more relaxed and a fun experience. It would certainly be considered revolutionary, but if we could somehow allow teams or be able to provide teams who only want to practice maybe once or twice a week, there's some balance in their life, and football isn't everything, but they still want to play. And if we could somehow accommodate those type of women too, there's still a lot of benefits to playing football, and you don't have to practice 3 and 4 times a week year-round, to compete. And we should be able to come up with programs, divisions, leagues, et cetera, to accommodate all women's desires. And there's going to be some highly competitive women that live and love football, that want to practice 4 and 5 times a week and year-round programs and excel. And then there ought to be opportunities for women to enroll in a team that practices maybe less and, provides for better balance in their lives, but still gives them the opportunity to play a great game, learn a great game, meet the friends and get into shape, just like all the others, but maybe with a little bit more, like Heidi in Finland said, a more relaxed and fun experience, and that would probably be a little revolutionary here in the United States too, when you look at some of the tackle teams. So I thought there's a lot of good parallels there between what Diane was getting from her teams and her players over there and some of the things that we're going through here in the tackle world in the United States. So we're getting close to the hour here. I do want to kind of summarize a little bit that Diane is still on her jaunt over there in the Scandinavian areas. She'll be there through the end of June, and then she will be going to Ghana for most of July. So next month I will be hosting again. If you have any topics or interesting items to cover, please let me know. And then she'll be back in Sweden and then back into the United States the first part of August. So she's got some exciting things going on. Tackle World is coming down to a close. We've closed some of the leagues have closed out their seasons, and they're into playoffs, and some of the others are just finishing up. So we're kind of at a standstill here, or not a standstill, but we're kind of starting to wind down. So I want to make sure I put a little bug in your ear for the Kelly McGinnis Classic that is in Key West. It's time to start making plans for that. That happens in February, and it's always a great activity, a great week of fun down there. It's a great way to bring rookies up to speed to see what they're like and get them off site with the rookie or with the veterans. And I want to put a plug in for that. Also, she's having a pre Kelly McGinnis Classic game during Women's Fest down in Key West. That's in September. It's a little bit earlier. I'm not sure if anybody. It looks like it's just one day. I'm not sure if anybody would be interested in that, but I definitely would encourage you to look at the website, the IWFFA website, and check out the Kelly McGinnis registration information there, because it's a great great time, and it's a good way to break up the monotony, if you will, of getting ready for that tackle season. So once again, this is Nance Werners with the Kansas City Storm. And I'm filling in for Diane Burleson, president and founder of the IWFFA, as she continues her European and African tour. We will be please join us again next month, the third Thursday, for our last segment before Diane comes back. And BJ, I'll turn it over to you.